7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin transmission.
Pay no attention to that voice when you hear it. That is not the correct time. That is the incorrect time. The actual time, if you are concerned with chronometry or orology, is 1930 UTC. 1930 UTC is the traditional starting time of the Dubious Goals Committee. Hello. We are starting the Dubious Goals Committee. Why? Because it's 1930 UTC. Hello, my name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee that starts every day at 1930 UTC. And clearly I'm going insane as I approach the creek. Once again, we have a fairly warm day. Not as warm as yesterday. It's about, well, maybe 55 degrees. About 12 degrees Celsius, and I'm approaching the creek, and as I was walking up, I'm looking around. All the leaves are off the trees now, so I can see clear across the creek onto the golf course. I don't see anybody. Has anybody been golfing today? Has anybody been golfing this morning? I don't know. Let's go down into the creek. But it was fairly nice yesterday. And what time did we come down here yesterday? Oh yeah, 1930 UTC. So I'm thinking maybe there were some people who were playing golf yesterday afternoon after Dubious Goals Committee. And maybe, just maybe, they lost some golf balls. Some colored golf balls. All right, I'm sort of down in the valley now. And I'm looking across the bank. I'm seeing that one white golf ball that was high up on the bank that we saw yesterday. It is still there. So no golf ball. No golf ball guys have been in here. And now I'm standing on the precipice, looking over the edge into the actual creek bed itself. And what do I see? Well, nothing. Nothing as of yet. Maybe we just need to look harder. Dun, dun, dun. Looking for golf balls on sort of a brisk day. It's not warm. It's a bit cool. Seems cool, but it is sunny. Wind is not blowing very hard. And now we need to get down into the creek bed proper. Because I don't see anything. Is this going to be a golf ball free day? It could. It could become that. But it's too early to tell. So let's get down in here. Okay. Here I am. Down in the creek. Standing right next to the water. Not 30 centimeters away, looking down into the water, thinking maybe a golf ball is in the water, but I do not see any. Yes, well, if I don't find any golf balls today, I won't be too sad, considering the treasure that we found yesterday. And if you missed yesterday's show, you can hear it on the archive. And it's especially interesting because we actually talked to a golfer and returned a golf ball to a golf ball or a golfer that he lost. That was funny. And we found a colored golf ball yesterday too. Luckily, the colored golf ball did not belong to the golfer. He had a white golf ball, one that I picked up 30 seconds before the green golf ball. Well, it wasn't a green golf ball. It was a chartreuse golf ball. It was sort of yellowish green. It fit right between my yellow golf balls and my green golf balls. So as I walk through the creek here, I'm noticing this area. Somebody's been down here who hasn't been down here before. And they stepped on these leaves when they know they should have stepped across. Why do I get a feeling this area is going to be destroyed and we're not going to be able to get through here in the near future? Over the picnic table dam we go. There's some animal tracks. Squirrel, I think. And I am still looking for golf balls. But I have yet to find any golf balls at this time. See, now I'm on the weird part of the creek where I can get up onto the opposite bank where we found yesterday's golf balls. And I'm just checking up there, looking around for golf balls. Oh no. And as I look down, I just realize I put my good shoes on. Oh, that wasn't smart, Tub. Because now I got to cross the creek and I'm actually going to have to step into the water to cross the creek where the water is about half an inch deep or approximately 12 millimeters. But I'm looking at the soles of my shoes, which are rubberized for the first, approximately 20 millimeters. So we're going to step into the water, step across. Ooh, Mati tracks. Now we're in a muddy bit where we can see some fresh Mati tracks. All right. So there have been marmots down here this morning. Where could they be? Well, let's follow the tracks. Which way are they going? They're going this way. And, here's the trail. Do-do-do-do-do. Mati tracks, Mati tracks. Mati's running up the mud bank. And then where does he go from here? Don't know. We're not tracking this Mati. He got off the mud. And then he went over here. And now I don't know where he went. Okay, that's fine. I'm just going to walk up the creek a little bit further and see what's going on. Doesn't seem to be much of anything happening. Nope. Alright, well, we keep on going. And now we sort of get to the spot where I can't go any further, where I stepped in the water the other day. And it was funny. And I'm still laughing when I think about it. Okay. Cool. Can't go any further, so let's head up onto the bank here. That seems muddy and slippery. No, it's okay. All right, so I guess we're having a golf ball free day. And that's cool. I'm back up onto the bank here. And I'm heading back the way I came. Well, at least it's kind of a halfway decent day to get outside. There is a little bit of a breeze that makes it cold. Oh, and I should tell you, as I was walking over here, I walked by the church. And on Sunday, they added some more painting to their big, long, 5 sheets of plywood signage. And they just painted in a bunch of, just wacky various symbols. There was a sun. And I think there was a Daiji, and there was the old Coexist logo, and let's see, what else was there? I don't even remember. So they're making progress. It still doesn't say anything, but okay, whatever, that's cool. Oh, and that reminds me, if you were listening to this show a couple days ago, and I said, I gotta call my friend Brant, like tomorrow or something, that meaning yesterday. Yeah, I talked to Brant. So I call him up just to see what he's doing right. And he says, I need you to make me an egg. And this is so typical. This is so typical of our conversations. He says, I need you to make me an egg. And I was like, no. Make your own damn lunch. He's like, no. How do you make an egg? I'm like, well, you can boil it, you can fry it, you can scramble it, you can... He's like, no. He's like, for the pig with the frying pan, he has to flip an egg. Brent, what the hell are you doing? He's like, just get over here. Help me with this. So I go over to his house. And I'm going to walk down here for a minute. I'm going to walk over to this group of trees. I'm out of the creek bed. I'm walking along the sidewalk. So I go over to Brant's house. And he's got these wind-up toys. He collects wind-up toys. More importantly, he hunts wind-up toys for other collectors. Although he does keep a few for himself, he's not a huge collector. He just keeps very specific antique wind-up toys. And he's got a couple that are these pigs. He's got two of these toys that are pigs that are sort of minorly anthropomorphized, and they're wearing chef uniforms. And they're holding like frying pans, and you wind them up, and these pigs sort of move back and forth, and then they flip their wrist, and whatever's in the frying pan gets flipped. And one of these toys comes with a lithographed tin thing, a disc, that has an egg lithographed on one side and a steak lithographed on the other. Alright, I want to look around in here for marmots real quick. Is there any marmots around here? Or any signs of old mushrooms? Yeah, on that log right there. That's looking good. We're going to go in here. Check for marmots. Let's see. I do not see any Marmota monax at this time. There's just no dudes. There's no dudes down in the creek. And I'm looking directly over at the other place where we always come down to look for mushrooms. Okay. Turning back around. So to get back to the pigs. So he's got another version of this toy that's a little bit smaller. You know, the pig is maybe 15 centimeters tall. And the pig is holding a frying pan, and the bottom of that frying pan is about 2.5 centimeters in diameter, maybe 3. And it turns out that whatever this pig is supposed to have in his pan, that thing, that accessory to the toy, has been lost over time. He acquired it without whatever was in the pan. And this is what he was asking when he said, can you make me an egg? Make me a fried egg to put in this frying pan so this pig has something to flip in his pan. And I said, okay, this all makes sense, but you don't need me. Because last time I was talking to you, you were looking for an excuse to get into Fimo and other polymer clays. And I said, this is a perfect application for Fimo. You could make a fried egg out of polymer clay. It'll look super great. Well, he didn't know what this stuff was. Well, I mean, he'd been hearing about it and been reading about it and seeing it and wanting to be getting into it, but hadn't found an excuse or a reason to go out and buy any polymer clay. So, this was it. Now listen to this. Oh, wait, before we do anything, we gotta check my mail. My snail mail. What's in my mailbox? Oh, I got junk mail. And what's this? Also junk mail. Okay. Great. I thought I was going to get real mail. Oh, look, there's my kitty in the window. Hi, Pippa. Hi. I'm waving at my cat. She's looking at me going, what are you doing out there? Let me out there. I want to get some birds. So, junk mail goes in the junk mail box, a.k.a. the recycling bin. We can now close the garage door and come inside. Oh, we're back in my house. And it smells a little bit like kitty pee. Did you do some kitty tinkles while I was gone? Hello. Pippa has run up to me. And she says, oh, where did you go? I had to go out and do some dubious goals committee-ing. Yes, because I'm a dubious goal. Oh, what's this? Oh, now my cat's walking around to show me that for some reason her computer has gone to sleep. Why did your computer go to sleep? Get it. And as soon as I touch the touchpad, of course, we can instantly see the bird video again. There's a bird. The cat attacks the screen. Yeah, get it. No, you stopped it. Whenever you press the K button, that means pause. There you go. And not pause like kitty pause. Pause as in stop momentarily. All right, she's back at batting at the screen. Can you hear this? No, she stops when I pulled the microphone up there. Get that birdie. You get that damn birdie. And when I say bird here, I actually mean a bird and not like some kind of golf term.
Keeping a ball clean is essential in improving play and enjoying a great round of golf. The R&R Products Grand Ball Washer delivers an elegant design while scrubbing the toughest soil from golf balls.
Yeah, but
take a look at the many features that make the Grand Golf Ball Washer an asset on any course.
Does it have a logo?
The handsome body design is a clean, logo-free design.
Oh.
The unique integrated collar design provides an appealing washer to mounting tube transition.
That is an appealing transition.
The die-cast aluminum body is protected with a durable, hard anodized coating to prevent corrosion.
What colors?
All ball washers are power coat painted in a rainbow of beautiful colors.
Oh, a rainbow.
The high-performance internal spiral brush provides superior cleaning.
That is some superior.
The carabiner
ball
hook
cleaning.
Securely holds the towel and helps to prevent theft.
Ah.
A teardrop overflow drain design prevents unsightly residue stains.
Nice.
Order your Grand Ball Washer today.
You know, I think I will. That's a mighty nice golf ball washer. Oh, my God. why does it make me laugh every time? I don't know.
Ancient Chinese secrets.
That's right, it's a secret. And you know, here's something I wish I knew this ancient Chinese secret for. You might be glad to know that my sink is still clogged. So this is what? Now, day 8? Yeah, last night I went to Tractor Supply, my favorite store ever. They have such great stuff at Tractor Supply. And I bought a gallon of the deadliest lye, the deadliest stuff you could ever pour down a sink. And I spent the evening, every few hours I would pour maybe another half a liter down. Yes, I bought a gallon. That's 4 liters for all of the rest of the world. So I spent, and then I poured the last of it down there at like 2:30 a.m. It didn't do a damn thing. And this is another product that was guaranteed to work or your money back. So I'm now $100 into this. And now we're going to have to start taking things apart. But, oh my God. I kind of don't want to think or talk about sink stuff today. I want to find something like banana na na na.
Banana na na.
Or Blenda.
Banana.
Oh, fine. We'll do banana instead of blender. Banana. A blender. Hamburgers should be high. So, blender, please put the hamburgers on the top.
My
chef.
My
while the fire gets hot. And then let's do the hanky panky.
Baby does the hanky panky. Yeah, my baby does the hanky panky. Hey, my baby does the hanky panky. My baby does the hanky panky. Hey, my baby does the hanky panky. I saw her walking on down the line.
Yeah,
you know I saw her. Baby does a hanky panky. Yeah, my baby does a hanky panky. 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 Down the line.
Yeah, you know I saw her for the very first time. A pretty little girl standing all alone. Hey, pretty baby, can I take you home?
I never saw her, never saw her.
You're low on time now.
Hey, my baby does a hanky panky. Yeah, my baby.
It had to be done. That was Tommy James and the Shondells with Hanky Panky. Oh, I wish I was one of the Shondells. What are the Shondells up to today? Nobody knows. Anywho, something else I was going to tell you. This is a little bit weird. Yeah, I had, but first, we had to listen to Tommy James because I got that song stuck in my head last night for some... Oh, no, I do remember why. I was watching Zach Hample videos on the YouTubes. Okay? You know this guy? You know who this guy is? And anyway, I was watching him, and he was at a baseball game, and it was during one of the breaks. There was some music being played in the ballpark, and the song was Hanky Panky. And so then I was sort of singing Hanky Panky in my head last night before I went to bed. So that was fun. Anywho, Zach Hample. I ended up watching about an hour. Yeah, about an hour's worth of his content last night. And if you're not familiar with the man, what you need to know is that he is a legendary baseball guy. And when I say he is a legendary baseball guy, I do not mean to imply that he is a baseball player, as one might expect if you say he's a baseball guy. No, he's not a baseball player. He's a baseball guy. He likes baseballs. Baseballs. I'm sure he likes the sport of baseball, too. But this is a guy who likes to collect baseballs. And he doesn't go out and buy them. He actually goes to baseball games and tries to get free balls. And he gets a lot of free balls. Yeah, he'll ask players to just throw him a ball, you know, when they're warming up and practicing. And he goes to the games early, so he's there for batting practice. And so he stands, you know, in the seats and tries to catch home runs during batting practice. And he catches home runs during the actual baseball game itself. And this guy, I'm not sure how old he is, but I think I remember him last night saying that he started in 1993. And this guy has over 11,000 baseballs. 11,000 baseballs. And he has, I think, as of the video I watched last night, he has caught 65 home run balls during baseball games. And you can often see this guy, if you ever watch sports highlights, just wait for the home runs to come on during the baseball segment, and you will see this guy catching baseballs. And what else? Just all kinds of stuff. Oh, and he has caught 5 home runs that were the player's first major league home run. That's an impressive feat. You know, you get a new baseball player, he's up to bat, and he hits his first home run of his career, and this guy catches it. This guy has caught 5 first home runs. That's crazy. This guy, Zach Hample, has also caught, was it A-Rod's 3,000th hit, which was a home run. If you're not familiar with baseball, the 3,000th hit is a big deal. Only about 30 players have ever done it in the 150-year-old history of baseball. Drinking tea. Oh, and you might be surprised what I'm drinking today. I'm drinking tea. Guess what it is? You'll never guess. I'm drinking that mold tea. That mold tea that I drink. It's not very good, and I'm drinking it out of my old giant teacup. And why am I doing this? Well, because this morning when I was going to make tea, I thought, I need to wash and bleach the teapot. So that I washed the teapot out really good, and it's being bleached right now. And I'll go back to drinking some good tea later. But this is a nice change. I'm going to drink some ginger may later tonight. This is a nice change of pace. It's not that great, but It's kind of refreshing. Anyway, to get back to Zach Hample and his baseballs, it's kind of fun to watch these videos because this guy gets excited if he can get a baseball, and he goes to games. And he was at a game, one of the videos I was watching last night, he got 11 balls in the course of the day. And he even goes to games outside the U.S. So when the Major League Baseball plays games in England or in Japan, he goes to these games and he gets these balls because these are special balls that have special logos on them. And he's really funny because he's got all this knowledge about where to be for certain types of batters and where to find balls in all the major ballparks. And he has these tricks and tools. So like if he's standing up in the bleachers and he notices that there's a ball hiding under the bleachers like 20 feet down, he's got a special trick on the end of a string that he can lower down and grab the baseball. And and he goes to the games early and he walks around in the seats to make sure, you know, to find any baseballs that might have been left that have been knocked into the seats during practice and stuff. And I thought to myself, what kind of idiot goes to this much effort just to walk around and find a sports ball? And oh, wait, I know that kind of idiot. I'm that kind of idiot, except I'm not doing it with baseballs. I'm doing it with golf balls. Oh my God, I'm the best idiot ever, and I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC, right here on Anon Radio. My name is Tobe. I've got to go do some sink battles, and I got to bleach my teapot, and I guess I need to make some lunch, so bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.